UK. She's a yoga teacher, you know, so we're going to be practicing our downward dog.
I found out the problem.
Good.
It's that mic. It's Caroline's mic. So can I ask Caroline, could you move around to the green mic?
Come and sit here, yeah. Caroline.
Because there's something wrong with that mic.
We also have Jarvi, who are, well, they're amazing. They are furniture makers, but not just any furniture maker. They're based just outside in Barham, just outside Kent, in Canterbury, sorry, just in Kent. And I discovered them about 100 years ago, Paul Andrews, as I went to an exhibition.
Right,
and
okay.
They gave me a smashing mug for my mat, which has got their branding on it.
Right, okay.
Just a little fretwork mat, you know, it's in Moroccan style. And I've kept it all these years. I perched my mugs on it still, and I rang him up and ordered a cupboard, and their customer service was amazing. Mm. You can get a cupboard in 2 weeks, you know.
Really?
My mum has been waiting for about 14 weeks for a dishwasher replacement because of COVID.
Wow.
What I wanted to talk to you about, first of all, before I ask who our sponsor is.
Yeah, go on.
What I wanted to ask you about, first of all, Paul Andrews, is we're all going to be released. And I'm interested to hear from the listeners, who many of them have been working from home, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to hear how they feel about going back to the office,
right.
Whether they're going to do flexi, whether their employer is asking them to go back, whether their employers are really happy for them to flex.
Mm.
People are doing 3 days a week, some are doing 2 days a week at home. We know that people have saved money on commuting. We know they've saved time and perhaps had better work-life experience. So I'd love to hear from them, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
What do you think?
Yeah, there's going to be lots of trouble over this, isn't there? It's the new dividing lines. Some people don't want to go back. Some people do. The crunch point here for me is the ending of furlough. When that ends and the millions of people currently being paid not to work have to go back to work, then that's when it really starts to come home. And also, I think at the moment, the biggest problem is recruiting staff. It's a massive problem in many, many industries.
Mm.
The thing is, the recruitment industry is very cyclical anyway. And what's going to happen in a couple of months' time is going to change completely the other way around. It's going to be really difficult to find a job. And that's going to be when the furlough ends, people go back to work and a lot of companies go bust. Because it's great being in business when you're not paying your staff, but most businesses, their biggest overhead is their staff.
Yeah.
And when they come back, there's going to be a lot of companies that won't survive.
Let's talk about when furlough ends. So it's ending in September, as far as I know.
It means October. The last furlough payment will be September,
right.
Which means that come October is when it will hit.
Which is scary because it's right
just in time for Christmas. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And you know, the conspiracy theorists amongst them all will say, and then it's the middle of the flu season, so they'll lock down again, which is possible, I guess.
It is possible. The other thing I was thinking about was that aren't employers having to pay a little bit extra now with this furlough? So was it 80%?
It was 80. It's now, from the end of July, it's 60%.
Yeah, which is, you know, if you're an SME, a small business, it's more money you've got to find, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. You know, some can, some can't. Once all the schemes have ended and you have to start paying, I got a call. If there's any accountants out there, I'd like this qualified as well. I had a call this morning from someone that said they got a grant. They're in the hospitality sector,
yeah.
And they got a $5,000 grant, and their accountants have said they've got to pay VAT on it.
You're joking.
I'm going, what? That doesn't make sense.
It's
a grant. So I Googled it and it said it's not VAT rateable unless it is.
Right.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
So does anyone know?
That sounds a bit like my private neurologist said you've got a headache after the post-AstraZeneca vaccine.
Well, you know, the problem is this government are bonkers anyway. They're completely bonkers.
But all governments bonkers?
Yeah, they are.
I can't think of anyone.
These have been especially bonkers. And now what they're doing, by the looks of it, is they're giving you a grant and then taking 20% of it back. I mean, it couldn't get more bonkers if you tried.
The only thing about Rishi is he is very handsome.
Oh, well, that's all right then.
Yeah, he's nice to look at, isn't he?
Yeah, well, that's okay then.
He has been chucking money around. It's shocked me how much money has been thrown around.
Yeah, but I came across a book. I can't remember the exact title. It's an American book, and the lady that wrote it followed me on Twitter. And it's a book called The Government Are Trying to Shut Down Small Businesses in America.
Yeah.
And that's definitely what they're trying to do in this country as well.
Yeah, and if yet you we're the lifeblood.
Yeah, if you look at the legislation and the bonkers things they keep doing, it's all anti-small business.
It's a bit like that in Spain, actually. Mm. I know my girlfriend is a TEFL teacher for foreign language in Barcelona. Mm. And she says to run a small business, the taxes that they have to pay is incredible, and it's just so much paperwork.
Same in France.
But please do use the hashtag BeeBunker, tweet us, and tell us what you're doing. Are you going back to the office? Are you looking forward to meeting up around the old water fountain or whatever you do and have cakes and things? Or are you enjoying the work from home and the little bit of extra time that you may have when you're not commuting?
So, you know, Caroline. I'd love to pick up on what you said about the small businesses. You know, and you're right, Julie, they do sustain the economy.
Yeah.
Because there are so many of them.
5.8 million.
Yeah.
And how do they grow if they can't be that little acorn?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. It's one of those strange things, and you have to ask yourself why they're doing it, but they are clearly doing it. You've only got to look at the legislation and also how they've treated what are called the 3 million excluded. 3 million company owners that were not paid any money at all, and they just didn't care.
Exactly.
And the excuse they had was that they didn't know what they'd earned, which is the biggest load of nonsense on this planet, because HMRC charge you tax, and they charge you tax in advance for most of us. Tax on account. So they do know what you earn.
But, I mean, you know, we've talked a lot about hospitality and the big gaps that have been there, especially now trying to get chefs and things is very difficult. And a lot of our friends have gone back home to Romania and places. Mm. But the beauty industry has really struggled. The hairdressers and, you know, our friend Serenity Becker.
HGV drivers, they're now dumping food because they can't get HGV drivers. But people won't look at the reality of what governments do. Yeah, everybody screams for governments to do, you must do something, you must charge tax, or you must do this, or you must do that. Mm. They never look at the ramifications of these things. The reason that we have a shortage of HGV drivers is most of them were running private service companies, which were then caught by IR35. So loads of them stopped working.
Right, hang on, what is IR35?
IR35 was a piece of government legislation introduced about 20 years ago. That made you, there's certain criteria that says you're not self-employed, you're actually an employee.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And it's nonsense. It's just nonsense.
So they are self-employed.
They should be, but they're treated as if they're employees.
There's also a shortage of vans.
Yeah, no, but hold on. I haven't finished telling you what the problem with HGV drivers is.
Go on.
But also, we've had a little thing called COVID.
Yes.
And the DVLA closed a year ago and they've not been answering the phones for the last year.
Crazy.
And it's not been possible to take an HGV test for the last 14 months.
Well, same with normal driving tests as well.
Well, but if you've got a shortage of lorry drivers and you can't take a test to be a lorry driver, you're not going to have a lorry driver, are you?
It needs to be speeded up, of course. Yeah, and lorry drivers, of course, have been hit by the old Brexit thing as well. We've seen the poor drivers on the roads.
So there you go. Government.
That's another show.
Well, you know, the problem is nowadays politicians knee-jerk everything. Yeah, the public go, it's like this global corporation tax nonsense. It's complete nonsense. You're not going to earn a single penny out of it extra. It's all virtual signalling to make them sound good. And basically, the only people it's going to hurt are small businesses.
Yeah. I know, and you know, if you visit a high street, why is Whitstable High Street, for example, so popular? Why do people love it? Why do the DFLs, the Londoners, cram in?
It's by the seaside, isn't it?
It's not just that. We have individual shops.
But that's interesting, because I used to live in Whitstable years and years ago. And
how
I
long ago?
Just did not like it at all.
Oh, maybe we didn't meet up enough.
No, well, that was
why
probably
did you
well
like
before
it?
Your time. I don't know, there was just something about it. I just didn't settle there. And you're right, you go back there now and it's a bit like Tenterton.
Mm.
People go there
Paul
for that
lives
mooch
in Tenterton.
Around the shops.
Yeah. Mm. But, you know, when Costa Coffee came into Whitstable, we, the locals, were lying in the road trying to stop them. We did not want the chains, because we've got Tea and Times. We've got beautiful little coffee shops that make homemade cakes. You know, you go to Costa, it's just standard, isn't it?
Mm.
Some people like that. But, you know, we'll see people on the beach with a Costa that they'll come to Whitstable because of its lovely high street, which you don't like.
But, well, not that I don't now, because there's been a big investment in Whitstable.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is like Tenterton, a great place to visit and mooch around the shops, and you do wonder how busy they are.
They are busy. Yeah, they are busy. Yeah, I mean, you have to, but I don't go into Whitstable at the weekends as a local because it's packed. I think there are 800 B&Bs or, you know, Airbnbs, and they're all full. So it is very, even in the winter.
Well, we've got the whole staycation thing going on, haven't we? And the cost of staycation has gone through the roof. I had a look at some holidays in Devon and Dorset, and ridiculous prices.
Crazy, yeah, 3,600 I saw for...
$5,000 for a week in Dorset. Yeah. And you're going, what?
Yeah.
Do you know something I heard the other week, which surprised me, well, quite shocked me, really, but people are booking Airbnbs and they're getting gazumped.
Yeah, really.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, yeah. It is mad. But we're opening up. If you've had two jabs, you'll be able to go, Paul, to an amber or a green country, won't you?
Possibly.
You've had your two jabs.
I've had my two jabs. But who knows at the moment? The things are changing daily. I was talking to Jamie, my eldest son, yesterday. He lives in France with his family. And they're going bonkers there. The French are talking about making the jabs mandatory. Have to have it. You can't do that. You just can't do that.
Well,
you know,
in Israel, I've been sent pictures. In Israel, there are designated restaurants where you can sit if you've been double vaccinated, and signs for the unvaccinated. Yeah. Please do not go there. You know, I can't have my second jab. I'd be mad if I had my second jab. There are people that have got blood clots on their liver and everywhere from the AstraZeneca.
Anyway, on that happy note...
Who might our sponsor be?
Oh, blimey, I've forgotten. We're halfway through the show now.
The business one can pull.
It's a pleasure to have the support and to partner with leading employment law firm Locke Associates. They'll be bringing us regular news, information and help with employment law, health and wellbeing at work. You can find out more about Locke Associates Group by going to their website, which is www.lockassociates.co.uk. That's spelled L-O-C-H, lockassociates.co.uk.
I prefer it when you say it with a nice Scottish accent.
Right. Do you want to read a tweet? Should we start the show?
Yeah, I'd love to. But just to say that in the studio we've got Caroline Purvey. I didn't know her surname earlier, so sorry about that. And you can follow her on Tree UK on the Twitter, and we'll be talking to her later alongside Javi, who are based in Jarley. Sorry, why do I keep saying Javi?
I don't know. Well, because you're talking about Jabs, aren't you?
Jarley, who are based in Barham, which is just outside Canterbury, and they're a family-run business, and we're looking forward to hearing from them. So here's a nice family story as well, family business. It's the boss of a long-running family store who's being forced to downsize and make redundancies. Oh, it's a sad story, sorry. I shall appropriate my voice to go with this, and make redundancies, claims that Canterbury is one of the most expensive places to trade, with ludicrous parking charges, we would say hear to that, haberdashery and homeware specialist Kloss and Hamblin, which has 8 shops across the south, has only just relocated to St Margaret's Street 4 years ago. But the chairman, Brian Hamblin, says that the family company, founded in 1933, has had to cut costs after suffering a 30% drop in customers. "We feel that we've been forced to take action now, and it's very sad because this will necessitate a large number of redundancies in our wonderful team when we vacate St Margaret Street." A very, very... They've obviously had a tough 2 years with COVID. But you'd have thought haberdashery and that would boom with people at home, because people have been making sourdough bread and haberdashery things.
The one shop we had in Dover, that's gone.
I think we might have mentioned some of the problems in Canterbury with having a small shop now and again.
Well, and I often, Caroline, have a little rant about the parking in Canterbury and the fact that they're building on the car parks as well. Well, in fact, I think Paul's been blocked by...
I've been blocked because I happened to mention that I don't think they were very small business friendly.
And they're not. Shall I read another one?
Very quickly, yeah.
Okay, so the Maidstone Borough Council, which is the MBC, they call themselves, it's a development team tasked with bringing a new play area to Loch Meadow, took their ideas to the classroom to find out exactly what their primary audience thought of the design so far. And it's Class 3, the children, at Boughton Munkelsea Primary School in Maidstone, and they met with playground designer Compan and members of the MPC Economic Development Team when the plans for the play area were shared with the pupils in the workshop. And the theme of the surrounding landscape has been taken into careful consideration, and the design includes a proposed woodland theme play area using natural materials to complement the riverside backdrop, and the play park will feature slides, climbing equipment, a sunken mini trampoline, all centred around a giant squirrel.
Oh, no.
For those of you who are just tuning in today, Paul Andrews has a squirrel problem. He has giant Mexican squirrels in his garden. So there will be a giant squirrel, which children can also climb onto. Yes.
Don't even go there with the squirrels.
Because you invested in a squirrel.
Squirrel-proof. That was as squirrel-proof as a paper bag's waterproof. It wasn't squirrel-proof at all. And the bloke was going on and on. Well, suspended. Eventually.
Did he come round?
No, I just ignored him.
Where
eventually.
Is he established?
Oh, somewhere.
Let him come round.
No, he's in Bristol or somewhere. Eventually, I put up two very slim poles, 16 feet apart, and ran fishing line between it. And then I hung the bird feeder 2 foot down in the centre of the fishing line. And I'm standing in the window, and I swear there's a squirrel hanging from the fishing line, going hand over hand until it got to the bird feeder.
Hang on, you've got a circus there.
Yeah, I have.
It's
yeah.
a trapeze artist. Yes.
Yeah. Until it got to the bird feeder, then it grabbed hold of the bird feeder and it ate the entire contents. Then it was so fat it just fell off onto the ground and went blop.
Well, we have the same problem with squirrels, not as many as you've got, but I never realised until I was listening to somebody talking about pest control that actually squirrels are a pest.
Yeah.
And I love the way she described them as they are rats in different clothing.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've got bushy tails.
It's the red squirrels that we want to be protecting.
Yeah, you don't see red squirrels.
Only up in Scotland you can get them, I think.
The funny thing is, they've been coming in the kitchen as well. Because when it was warm a few days ago, we had the kitchen door open. Yeah, we got bifold doors. And Amanda walked into the kitchen and there's three squirrels sat in the kitchen.
Having a tea party.
Make yourself at home.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and
any nuts?
Yeah, no, well, what it is my bag of bird food was in the corner and they found it, right? Now, yesterday it was pouring with rain, you know, yeah?
Yeah, so they came in their wellingtons.
No, wait, let me say. All the back doors were shut. And there were three squirrels sat on the windowsill trying to get the window out, yeah? They were scrabbling at the edge of the window, trying to get the window out to get inside the kitchen to get into the food bag.
These are monsters.
They're evil. Yeah. They're evil squirrels.
Well, I know you're champing at the bit to play a record, but we have rats. And I'm wondering if it's because of the pandemic that there's a lot of rats. My cleaner said there's rats everywhere. We've got rats and we never had before the last 2 years. So I'm wondering if it's people at home more feeding birds more.
Yeah.
And restaurants closed. So they're moving, you know, for their food. But I've got a humane trap, you know.
Yeah, but you've got to drive 5 miles to release the bloody thing.
No, it will get
home before you. I had a big rat on my bird table the other day.
Oh, I don't like them. This was a juvenile I saw, and we put some. We had a lovely. Did you see the barbecue we had with the old?
With your green egg.
Yeah, my UK big green egg, and we had a lovely fish on there, and we put the skin in the humane rat trap, and then. I don't think it was enough, so we bought him some whole earth peanut butter as well to tempt him.
Have you caught anything yet?
No, 48 hours, nothing.
Oh, right.
And of course, you know, if you catch it and then it's live, I said to my new husband, if it's in there, it's really horrible to leave it. We've got to, you know, supposing it comes and we're on a Zoom all day and it's trapped in there.
Oh, poor thing.
Yeah, I feel sorry for them.
I don't.
Anyway, you're about 7 miles away, aren't you?
It's no good bringing it over my place.
You've got room.
Right. I'm going to play some cheesy tunage, and I've changed the format for this week only, yeah, because I think I'm being clever. So, see what you think.
When I was young, I'd listen to the radio.
It's Karen Carpenter.
It's the Carpenters. Do you see what I did there?
That's good.
The Carpenters.
DF.
Yeah.
I like that. I love this song. what voice.
It made me smile. Those were such happy times, and not so long ago. How I wondered where they. It's yesterday once more. Looking back on how it was in years gone by, and the good times that I had, makes today seem. Yesterday once more. Every sha-la-la-la, every woe still shines. Every shingle-ling-a-ling that they're starting to sing so fine. Every sha.
Carpenters. Do you see what I did there?
Oh, Carpenter. I love that. A little bit of MDF, a little bit of fretwork, perhaps.
Yeah.
Jarley.
Exactly.
I can't wait to hear about Jarley, because I'm excited when I get, when I find a manufacturer in Kent. Mm. Isn't that great? That will, you can just order something in 2 weeks.
Fantastic.
No shortage.
They build it to order, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, and I chose my colour and everything. It's a whole array of colours.
What'd you go for? Wood?
No, I think it's ivory white. They had a name for it, of course. It was a lovely name.
What did you have built?
It's just a little cloakroom that I've got a cupboard, and I decided that my cloakroom's going to be all Moroccan. It's lockdown fever, you know. I'm going to have a Moroccan cloakroom landing.
As you do.
Yeah, it's all Moroccan.
If you can't go there, bring it to
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm going to have, I'm going to always wear a fez every time I go to the toilet.
Well, yeah, you have to.
And it's a little fretwork Moroccan cupboard by Jarley. And probably have some, I don't know, can you get Moroccan toilet rolls? I don't know. I don't
know. That fez can be your entry sign, like put it on a head outside. If that fez isn't there, somebody's in there wearing it.
I love that. And then I've got a little Moroccan lamp that I'm going to put up.
Right.
Okay. And Moroccan tiles.
Okay.
They're not real Moroccan tiles. They're from Tiles Giant or something in Wincheap, but they're sort of Moroccan-ish.
So, and then you pop down to Canterbury to Café Maresque.
Yeah, and eat a falafel.
Yeah, yeah.
And then cool. I'm off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, shall we hear from Charlie?
Yeah, I'd like to.
Yeah.
Cool. And I'm here in our virtual studio with the fabulous Danford Schoen, and he is the director of Jali, jali.co.uk. You can find them on the Twitter at Jali Design, and their website is very intriguing, and it's jali.co.uk, as I just said. You can go on there and you can see what they do. All made in the UK. It's based just outside Canterbury, and I can see pictures of the team. Really, really excited about this company. I have used them, listener, and great customer service. So let's hear from Danford. It is a family business. Hello, Danford. Family business.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. I can see you've got your little bunting up today. Very nice.
Oh, yeah. I've retreated to a little office where I've got some peace and quiet. So we've got some bunting left over just to be extra festive.
Yeah, very, very good. I love it. So you are a family business and you run alongside your mother and your father. Jenny is your mum, and your dad, I don't know his name, sorry.
He's Nicholas.
Nicholas, yep. Okay. And you set this up, from what I know, 30 years ago?
That's right. It was actually set up the year I was born. So I didn't have a great deal of input around about that time, but I'd like to think that my influence has grown with the years.
We weren't put in a Jali cupboard to keep you quiet or something.
Well, there is an excellent photograph in the first Jali brochure of my brother, Tobias. And he's sort of, I think he's probably tried to push over one of the first Jali products, which was a sort of curved cabinet with some fretwork in it in our first ever house. But no, I'm not sure if I ever made it into any of those.
So how, they don't do cots, obviously. how did your, was this a light bulb moment for your parents, or how did they get into it? Do you know?
I do. It was the sort of rise of MDF being a very versatile material, and it wasn't often used, and I think it had a lot of bad press at the time, which has actually all since been completely debunked. It's an extremely sensible, versatile and sustainable material because it actually uses 100% of the tree rather than, you know, proper wood that you would buy. And it's also repurposed. So a lot of sawmills that are using up wood, 60% or so can actually be taken from whatever processes they're doing and repurposed into MDF sheet. So what you've got there is a very eco-friendly material which you can cut and do a lot with. And my dad, who's sort of best characterized as a kind of inventor genius, I think was fiddling around after an engineering career, which I think was all of about a few years, and decided he wanted to strike out on his own and do something exciting with this new material. So he started playing around with CNC machines, and those are the machines where you're using a computer inputting a design and it's cutting out exactly what you've got in front of you on the screen, which was, you know, fairly revolutionary at the time. And he opted to do fretwork. So exactly what you were discussing before with Moroccan and fretwork styles from
fretwork.
The Middle East and Africa.
Yeah, exactly. I'm always amazed it's not used more in the UK, because it is. Well, I was saying to listener, to Danford earlier before we started on the old interview, that the one I've ordered, I'm doing a little loo actually on my landing. And I decided I'm going all Moroccan. And so I remembered you because I've seen you at shows and things in the past. And I remembered this amazing fretwork that you do, which presumably is quite intricate, isn't it, to be cut out and things?
Yeah, well, it's okay. It's as long as you've got a good sharp cutter on the machine, it's no problem. And what happened is, just like you, I think it was very popular as a sort of wall feature, especially in bathrooms and things like that, because it lets the light in, usually in a very attractive way, but it also has a degree of privacy. So we've since used fretwork in our window shutters, in radiator covers, and in shelving as a sort of decorative item. Mm. And that's actually what Jali means. The word, the name for the company, originally came from, I think, Sanskrit or another Middle Eastern language, the term for a fretwork lattice or screen. So, yeah, I mean, the next step, go on. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, where does the name come from? And it could well be Sanskrit, actually, or Indonesian or something like that, I was thinking. And also I was thinking about the fretwork that it lets air in. So, you know, for a cupboard that might get a bit musty, it might be quite good, like an airing cupboard or something. I don't know.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we've had a lot of, there's one very particular, we've got a gallery on the Jali website, which we use to, you know, customers can use to sort of inspire and educate themselves about what's possible and what they might consider having in their house. And one of the most popular, strangely, is actually an airing cupboard, towel cupboard. And it's got not so much a fretwork design, this one in particular, but there's no reason why you couldn't. It's got a long slatted design, which is a little bit more modern for people who prefer modern as opposed to ornate. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly that. It hides all your, you know, potentially old towels, but still allows them to air. So it's a brilliant configuration if you also allow room for the radiator below.
So just run us through, Danford. So if the customer comes, because I've done this process, so I know, and I know how helpful Jenny was when I got the measurements wrong. So I'll tell the listener about that briefly. So I decided I could measure my cupboard, seemed fairly standard, you know, depth, width, height, blah-de-blah. Phoned up. I looked on the website and then I got in a muddle about something. So I phoned up and Jenny talked me through. So we ordered it, paid for it. And then I sent the picture and what I'd done to my plumber, who's coming in 2 weeks' time. This is in March, you know, because he's busy, because everybody's at home doing up their houses. And he said, oh, no, Jules, that's all wrong. He came charging around like the cavalry and started re-measuring it and started talking to me in plumber speak about, you know, borders and things like that and edges. So I just handed him to Jenny and they talked it through and it was revamped. And what I was really impressed with was the customer service was brilliant and very fast. So talk us through your typical customer and how they might start. So they would go onto the gallery, would they?
No, not necessarily. I mean, that's someone who is looking for inspiration. Okay. But I suppose to get into that, it's worth just saying, you know, what the Jali offer is. We've mentioned fretwork. We've mentioned radiator covers, which is what Jali was well known for in the 90s, because they were on a lot of changing rooms with Linda Barker and Lawrence Wellen Bowen and so on. But sort of leapfrogging from that was this idea that, we could really do something here that allows us to get nerdy, to you know, use our innovation. Because a radiator cover is one of those brilliant things that follows a sort of formulaic design, but everyone's situation at home seems to be completely different, just as you've discovered with yours. It wouldn't have been easy for you to jump onto Amazon or Wayfair or wherever and find a radiator cover that was in the style you wanted, that was the exact size, you know, XYZ of what you needed. Yeah. So what we did, and this is the centerpiece of the Jali website, is to build a designer so that any customer, whether they were sort of private householder or a professional fitter, could go on the website, choose which furniture item they want, let's say radiator cover, but it could have been a wardrobe or cupboard or bookcase, go into the designer and customize the size, the style, the fit, the finish, all within a 3D designer. And that information gets passed to our factory automatically with no human involvement in between. And automatically, all the parts are pooled, which is another eco thing, and they get cut out automatically in our factory in Kent. So that's kind of how you would approach it.
And the customer can also, I remember there were a range of colours on there, which was lovely. You know, you can choose exactly the colour you want. You know, for me, actually, that was, I was thinking, wow, I could have yellow, pink, you know, it was all there. And that's great. And I think what I love about it as well, that it's not mass produced. So you're actually building to order.
That's right. Yeah. So we don't stock anything apart from fixings. Everything is made to order. So it's the most environmentally friendly way of doing it. And we offer 24 different paint colours. And we'd like to extend that in the future. I would actually like to offer infinite colours, but we'll see. And we also allow people to buy a real oak finish, walnut in some circumstances. Or for the DIY customer, they can also buy it primed, which is a cost-effective way of doing it. Because painting fretwork, it's fun and it's fine, but you save a lot of time by buying it primed from us at just a slightly more expensive. Or for the absolute most affordable deal, you can buy it in just plain MDF, and it's almost straight off the machine That's if you want a really good deal and you're a DIYer and you quite enjoy getting your hands dirty. So we offer that range for every different kind of customer.
So we were talking about places like Wayfair, and I told you about my Cotswold. Do you remember? So I bought what I thought was a lovely blanket chest from Cotswold Company. It was just under £300, I think, going off the top of my head. And it stunk of varnish, and I could not get rid of the smell, and I kept airing it and cleaning it. So they sent me another one, and I knew it would be exactly the same, but they insisted on sending me another one, and it was the same. And then I went to a local craftsman who's just in Whitstable, where I live. I found this joiner, carpenter, and he matched it and made me this beautiful chest, almost the same. And it was just such a nice buzz to actually have it made in Kent, what you're doing. So who is your typical customer? I mean, are you selling all around the UK? Do you ever sell abroad or...?
Yeah, that's right. No, we sell all around the UK, which was, and then a little bit in Europe, which used to be a lot easier than it is now, unfortunately. And every so often we get
the old Brexit thing. Has that bogged you down?
Well, getting supplies has been interesting, but we try and source as much as we can within the UK and Kent, especially if possible. Certain things aren't possible, so it's been interesting, but we've not had any big problems. What we have had is for things that need to go too far, they need to go with a different delivery company. And there's always been customs problems that have been beyond us. We do our utmost best, and you've witnessed our customer service. We do everything we possibly can, but it can be tricky if you're ordering from Dublin, whereas it would have been fairly seamless just a few years ago.
That's a shame, isn't it? And hopefully that will all get sorted out soon. I was going to ask you something else, and it's completely gone. How many people do you employ? That would be something.
So it's actually just around 10 at the moment. I think it might be 11 or 12. We've got about a handful in the office, let's say 3 or 4. I'm lying, actually. We've got 2 offices. We've got about 5 or 6 in the office, and then the remaining 5 or 6 are down in the factory.
Okay, so your factory workers, are they sort of carpenters, or what are they? Are they cutters?
Well, no, they're not. They're machine operators. Our best sort of factory operator is someone who's got a real sort of synergy with the machines, but also has a sort of understanding of the system that we're trying to put in place, because we're looking to create an automated factory so that we can offer this kind of bespoke on-demand idea. We're not going to make it until we absolutely have to. That's a sort of core principle of lean manufacture. And we want it to be done precisely, accurately, and sustainably made. So we've put in place a number of fairly advanced and innovative practices and principles. So the guys down there are all very, intelligent and very keen to get things right. But they're not in the model of a traditional carpenter.
Right.
They're getting the best out of machines around them, rather than necessarily, running around with chisels.
And your family business, and you mentioned Tobias. Is he also in the business, or is he?
My brother's. He's very interested in innovation in general, and his current project is outside of Jarley. He's working on a bike gaming interface. He may have shifted gears since then. So I hope that's an accurate portrayal. But that he's working on that, and his partner is based in Lincoln. So he is currently not involved in Jarley, but we'll see.
So I love this sort of family thing here. And your dad was an engineer, and then Jenny seems to be like front of house customer service. Your mum.
Well, yeah, it's more involved even than that. So mum, yes, she managed the office for a time, but she's actually handed over the reins to my partner, Adriana, who I think you spoke to earlier.
Oh, I spoke to earlier, yes.
Yeah. And we also have in the office my sister, Dulcimer. And I don't know if you've come across the band Coco and the Butterfields. Kent-based band. So my sister is the lead singer in Coco and the Butterfields.
Okay, so that's just amazing. And were they would have been at the Canterbury Festival and things like that, I guess.
That's right, yeah, plenty of times. Yeah.
I've probably seen them. So I love that, all sitting around the kitchen table. I can imagine the innovation going on there.
Sure.
And I think what I love also is, you know, that it's made in the UK, you're mentioning that it's sustainable, but the fact that Joe Public can just go along and, you know, on a whim, create their own furniture, whether it be a chest of drawers or cupboards or radiators, which is great, and choose the colour. So good. I don't understand why everybody isn't doing this, and I'm sure many are. I'm just looking, I've got a radiator cover. So, yeah, that seems to be the thing that I love, and it's the streamlining, I think. So you can have something quite modern and quite distinct, individual even. What's the quirkiest thing you've ever had made?
The quirkiest thing? I think that would be a project it's not one that's available via the website, because it was a charity project done in collaboration with Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen. There have been a few of those. Often they're for children. I don't know the circumstances, but one of them's been a very interesting doll's house where Linda Barker, Handy Andy, Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen, and a lot of interior design celebrities, they undertook to design a different room in each of these houses. And each room in this doll's house. So my dad designed this doll's house at Jarley, and everyone got involved and built it up and did it. It's actually just reminded me of yet another one, which was we used to do an awful lot of shop windows in London in department stores. And there's one particular one that went in the window of Harrods or Hamleys, I believe.
Sorry, that's mine.
So what it was for the Christmas time shop window display in Harrods. It was this sort of automaton. So it's modelled on a Victorian workshop. And it tells the story of this little elves, lots of elves who are sort of making up little presents. And you see this one particular elf fall into the production line, and you sort of see his progression throughout this big machine. I can send you a video of it. And he falls in, and then he gets packaged because he falls on the line with all the other presents. And you can see him get steadily more irritated and upset about his predicament as he goes through. And the last shot is of him in this pink box with gold stars with rabbit ears that have been sort of stuck on him by the Christmas present machine as he leaves. And then the whole system resets and starts over. And it just made a really interesting interactive shop window display. And one of those things that put Jarley on the map very early on.
Sounds like that elf had a few too many snowballs under the Christmas tree to me. I mean,
most likely.
Yeah. So I love that, though, you know, from Kent, you're going to Harrods. You've been on the telly, well known with Lawrence Llewellyn, you know, the flamboyant interior designer. Sorry, all my buzzers are going off here. They're all connected. My phone's connected to my laptop. I need to sort it out.
We've actually also, picking up on that, we've also been in several feature films. So again, a lot of the early design work has been in, for example, the gates in 101 Dalmatians. That was all designed and built at Jarley. We've been in Harry Potter. We've been in James Bond and a whole smattering of other British films. And it's quite nice. I've done my best to sort of sneakily print screen them and put them on the website. So you'll see things like The Mummy, where you've got all the sort of main cast, and in the background you've got actual Jarley fretwork that you could buy right now and have in your, you know, on your wall or in your radiator cover or window shutters or on the cupboard doors.
Rubbing shoulders with Hollywood there. So for your average customer, it's saying on your website that things could be made almost in 2 weeks.
That's right. Yeah.
Incredible. That's incredible. And certainly mine came really, really quickly. And they also kept me informed when it was coming, which I loved, you know, so I sort of was in and ready. So I love the communication that we had. And I'm just looking now, there's some beautiful fretwork there. It's not just any, you know, one fretwork. There's lots of different designs of fretwork as well, which I found, you know, being a Gemini, I just wanted to go, yeah, I love that one. But there's a lot of choice. So it is a bit like being in a sweetie shop that you can make your own furniture. Brilliant. So anyone that wants to have a look, please go onto the Jali website, which is, as I said, jali.co.uk. You'll find them prolifically on Instagram at Jali Design and the Twitter, Jali Design also. Great. Well, I look forward to coming along to the factory and looking at your etchings.
You'll be very welcome.
And meeting Nicholas, the engineer, and your mother, Jenny, and all the rest of the team, because it sounds like it's all going on there.
The whole clan, yep.
Brilliant. For now, Nick, Danford, you've got Nicholas on your thing, which is always a trick on your Zoom.
Oh, I've stolen his iPad. Yeah,
yeah. Well, for now, thank you very much. And I'm loving the bunting in your background. And we'll speak very soon.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Locke Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. That was Danford from Jali Designs.
Great name, isn't it? And I do believe it comes from sort of Denmark-y places.
The Viking.
Yeah. I think it's like the Ford.
Danford.
Yeah, and I need to find out more about it because it's got a very unusual name, doesn't he? Danford. Because I thought when I first interviewed him and they said, oh, you need to speak to Danford, I thought it was Daniel Ford.
All right, you know, Danford.
Hello, Mr. Ford.
Yeah.
You know.
Right, I need to tell you. I need to tell you about this. We've got loads of stuff to cover, so we've got to crack on with this. And I need to get round to the uninterrupted FSB news shortly. But award-winning IT company is seeking apprentices. Tribeca Technology Group, based in Sittingbourne, is continued to invest in recruiting local talent, with the announcement that they're looking for another 6 to 10 apprentices to join their growing team. This exciting news comes off the back of Tribeca Technology Group winning Best Overall Business at the highly prestigious 2021 Action Coach BizX Awards. Tribeca Chief Executive Mark Instance said our apprenticeship scheme ensures continued investment into local employment, and we are delighted to have taken in 22 apprentices since the scheme started in 2011, and many of them are still with us. He said, we're proud of our well-established academy and have a dedicated space for the apprentices to receive their training. The new recruits are positioned throughout the business, including business administration, accounts, sales and technical. So if you'd like to be part of an excited, forward-thinking business, then Tribeca is a great place to start your career. Tribeca also works closely with Mid-Kent College, offering short-term training courses as well as full-time training. If you'd like to find out more about how you can secure an apprenticeship with Tribeca Technology, please contact Sean Airy at TribecaIT.com. That's Sean, S-H-A-U-N, dot Airy, A-I-R-E-Y, at Tribeca, T-R-B-E-C-A, hyphen IT.com. Drop them an email if you're interested in getting an apprenticeship with Tribeca Technology.
Lovely.
We got read a tweet. We haven't read a tweet yet.
Oh, no. Well, I can't now because I'm just setting up a tweet for Caroline's interview, Caroline Purvey, who's coming up next. But I'll read you something, Paul Andrews. The Cooper Burnett Solicitors, LLP, is delighted to be supporting the inaugural walk at Tunbridge Festival, which is taking place on the 11th to the 19th of September. And it's organised by the team behind Walk Tunbridge, which encourages residents to enjoy Tunbridge and the surrounding countryside on foot, which sounds great. And the festival is hailed as a celebration of walking. I'm sure there'll be some beer and some ales in there as well. And it's the community and countryside, and it's set to include a variety of events for all the family. It'll culminate in a walking marathon, which teams from local businesses are being invited to take part in. Local pubs will be getting involved during the festival, offering live music, family fun and entertainment, while there will be themed guided walks to join, including a photography walk, a medieval history walk and a sunrise walk. The idea for Walk Tunbridge came to a local resident who's called James Pavlou, and during the first lockdown in March 2020, he got this brainwave. The walking marathon, which will include segments from eight of the established walks, as well as a number of local pubs as checkpoints, you can imagine them at the end of this, can't you? Mm-hmm. begins at Tunbridge Baptist Church and finishes at Tunbridge Castle. The event is raising money for Sustain, a community food bank which is run by Tunbridge Baptist Church, which provides emergency food supplies to local people who are experiencing a short-term need. All the food items are donated by individuals or local groups and distributed to recipients referred by frontline care agencies. You can find out more about this by going to walktunbridge.co.uk/walktunbridgefestival, and all details as always will be on the Kent Business Radio website after the show.
Fantastic. I had a tweet from Michael Part Surveyors. Good afternoon, Paul and Jules. We wish you an absolute cracker of a show. Sending your Business Bunker listeners much love. That's Michael Part Surveyors Limited, MPSL, on the Twitter. Chips and Dinks, it may be raining, but there's a little ray of sunshine to brighten your day. The Business Bunker is on air, bringing us business news, business tips, support for small business, and a bit of laughter and banter. So thank you for that. What else have we got? I'm trying to catch up with some of the tweets, because we've got loads of tweets.
I saw Athelbray there.
Martin from Buddy Museum. Could I have a Business Bunker shout-out, please? Looking forward to today's show. We need some light-hearted banter with this horrid weather. So thank you for that, Martin.
BL Connections. They are networking, connecting people and technology, and they are based in Belgium.
Right.
So they say hello. They've got 63.8k followers. And hello to you guys, connecting business, people and technology.
Fantastic. The lovely Kim Stevens of Caring Kent. She said, I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker show, please. Would you care to make a difference? If you answered yes, then you could be the one we're looking for. So if this sounds like you, please give us a call today. We look forward to hearing from you. So basically, they're trying to find people to work with their care company.
Yeah.
And they look after people in their own homes.
That's a lovely thing, and I think it's pretty important as well, don't you?
So you can find out about this by the following Kim on Twitter, Caring Kent, or you can ring her on Ashford 01233 619 530, Ashford 01233 619 530.
And Intune PR, who was a previous guest a couple of weeks back, he says, and continuing to 3pm, potentially a lot of biscuits to go, because I was talking about custard creams with Zenat.
Oh, you were discussing the custard cream.
Is
there a Whitstable Mumming custard cream shortage?
No, but there is a lorry shortage at the moment, a van shortage. A big hello to you. And also IFF Kitchen, they're based in Manston, and they're delivering beautiful food to all through the UK, and also they're in Ibiza. And they say, we're working hard here, and the boss is actually in Ibiza, and they've got very busy there, so we'll let him off, because there was a picture of Josh lounging.
He's lounging again, is
lounging.
He? Is he lounging?
Tell you what, he had a bod, that body, because he eats IFF food. That's all he eats.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right, uninterrupted now.
Oh, are you off?
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
I'm going to mention some of the events that are happening that are being run by the FSB Kent and Medway. At the end of these events, I'll give you the link to find out more and to book your tickets, your free tickets for any of these events. So there's Achieve a Healthy Work-Life Balance as a Business Owner, taking place tomorrow, manana, Wednesday the 7th of July, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. This online event will bring you together speakers from various aspects of well-being to help busy business owners to achieve a healthy work-life balance. And then on Thursday, the 8th of July, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m, Kent Women in Enterprise Virtual Networking. Join us for this Women in Enterprise brunch and have the opportunity to promote your business and link up with fellow entrepreneurs in our interactive and engaging breakout rooms. It's hosted by Sue Hainsby of Carlene Lettings. And then on the Wednesday, the 14th of July, Peter Searle is hosting Maidstone Virtual Networking, this free FSB Connect online event with in association with Metro Bank. These Maidstone events are relaxed networking with like-minded business owners, and everyone is welcome. And then moving into August, social media strategy with the FSB and Google Digital Garage. The FSB is pleased to be partnering with Google to provide a free live webinar training. The Google Digital Garage provides free online and live webinar digital skills training to individuals and businesses in the UK to help people find a job, grow their skills, career or business from home. Join us for a session to learn about how you can build a social media strategy into your business plan. That's on Thursday, the 5th of August at 11 a.m. All of those events can be found by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. They are all there. They all have more information on each of those events, and you can book your tickets by clicking the links that you find there. The Kent and Medway Apprentice Graduation Ceremony 2021. This year, the Kent and Medway FSB will be supporting the Kent Medway Apprentice Graduation Ceremony. This will be a virtual event held on Friday, the 8th of October, and is set to be a memorable event recognising the valuable role apprentices play in the workplace. If you're an apprentice, employee, or know an apprentice that you feel deserves recognition, then please feel free to nominate them. You can do that by going to www.appgradknm.org/registration. That's www.appgradknm.org/registration. You can also find that by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB, and there will be some links there for that also. The FSB is urging small firms serving the county's tourism industry to apply for a grant to help those continuing struggle during the pandemic. The Kent and Medway Federation of Small Business says there are grants of between £1,000 and £3,000 available through the South East Local Enterprise Partnership. It's called the Revive Revive, see what I did there?
Yeah.
The Southeast Visitor Economy Fund is a 100% grant fund, which sits as part of a wider package of support and is funded by the Southeast Local Enterprise Partnership. Visit Kent. According to figures from Kent County Council, prior to the pandemic, Kent attracted close to 65 million visitors a year, contributing 3.8 billion to the county's economy and supporting more than 77,000 jobs. That's 11% of all employment in the county. Brilliant. So it's really important that we keep hospitality going. Dave Millam, who's the Southeast Chair of the FSB, said tourism, hospitality and the wider visitor economy are crucial to Kent and the Southeast. This grant comes at a time when government support starts to wind down and the delays to full reopening are hitting small businesses in catering, hospitality and tourism. Mm-hmm. Applications will open from 9 a.m. on July the 15th and close at midnight on July the 18th. To find out if your company is eligible and to apply, southeastbusiness.org.uk/revive. southeastbusiness.org.uk/revive is the place to go to find out if you can get that. And just to remind you again that the FSB now have an app. And with the new FSB app, we're by your side wherever you are. Manage your membership on your mobile, access your benefits and find out what's happening near you. It's never been easier to make the most of the FSB. Simply click on the Apple App Store button if you're an iPhone user, or the Google Play Store button if you have an Android phone, and download the app. And that's the FSB news for this week.
And I didn't interrupt once.
You were very good. And you've now got 12 seconds to read something.
Okay. So Kent Tweet Ups, hello to you. Free Business Networking, they're listening in. And our lovely guest here has just tweeted us as well. So she's delighted to be coming on the show. Athelbrey have got a Tuesday training tip. Did you read this?
No, go for it.
Okay. So... they say, Tuesday training tip from Athelbrey. The NHS, as an organisation, was awarded the George Medal by the Queen yesterday. following the, sorry, I haven't got my glasses and it's tiny writing, following the work during the pandemic. This was in recognition for the work past and present for those who have supported the nation with dedication, compassion and courage. Rewarding your staff is generally seen as having to have a financial component, but talking to employees, invariably they want recognition of a job well done and a thank you for their service. So how do you recognise your staff's contribution to business, they ask. Maybe asking them is the first step to finding out what they are looking for. Sometimes a simple thank you is the most important thing you can say. And so that's from Athelbray. They're regulars on the Business Bunker. You can find them on the Twitter at Athelbray, B-R-A-E, Limited, on the Twitter. And the same with their website, which is athelbray.co.uk.
We're now going to late join the Channel Radio newsroom.
Oh, sorry about that.
12 seconds.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
Channel Radio News Update.